welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast with Matthew Sardo.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Holy sh! They're actually monkeys fighting robots!
You can follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots and on Instagram at monkeys fighting robots. Make sure to download and review our podcast from iTunes and Stitcher. And now, here's your host, Matt.
Welcome to the 124th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today is going to be wonderful. EJ and I are talking about Patty Jenkins and Gal Gadot's action-adventure film, Wonder Woman. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. I'm also the co-founder of MonkeysFightingRobots.com. Joining me in the banter is my co-host, movie critic EJ Marino.
I'm so excited for this show. I say it every week, but this is the one I'm the most excited for. I think our fans are going to like this as well. So if you do happen to enjoy the show, subscribe to Block Talk Radio, give us some comments. There's so many other places we're available. We can find our home on Monkeys Fighting Robots. Just check us out.
Could you sleep last night?
No, not at all. Like, no. I have bags under my eyes. I stayed up to like 2 just like, what did I hate about this movie? What did I love about this movie? Do I want to change anything? So, yeah, I haven't really slept a lot. I'm like post-Wonder Woman hysteria.
I had a tough time. I was all jazzed up after the film, and I could not go to sleep right away. And that's always a good sign of a film. This is, again, we talked about this yesterday in our post-game recap of the film. We did a Facebook Live, and hopefully... Well, the problem with Facebook Lives, I was like, why don't we do more of these? And I was like, oh, because the film is always embargoed when we go see it. So we can never record stuff live afterwards. But I really want to do more of those.
Oh, absolutely. I had such a blast. So if you guys are listening and you want to see what we look like, you can always check that out on our Facebook and I think the website now. I think you posted it on the website.
I did.
Yeah, I love it. I think we should do more of those. But like I said, those embargoes suck. But I think Wonder Woman, it was just so fun to talk about it after. I think you get such a candid, like, you don't even have time to put your thoughts together. And I like that. Like, we come into this podcast somewhat structured. Like, I like that. It was just
somewhat,
so raw.
Somewhat.
Somewhat structured. That's let's not get people confused that we're, like, organized.
You and I come from completely two different places on this Wonder Woman film. Like, I am... the epitome of a hero's journey. Like that's what I love more than life itself. And then I don't know what you anti-hero's journey. Is that what you are? Or like, is there another name that we can give you? Like what stereotype can we give you?
I would like to actually look into see what is the opposite of the hero's journey. It's just how the hero's journey is usually told. It's usually fairly boring. And I think usually for the hero's journey, we sacrifice villains to put over our hero. And this was not the case. I will say, you know, we are coming from two different sides, but we both love the film. Like, we both really, really enjoy it. So it's not like we love and hate it like some of our other ones. We both like it. We just love it for different reasons.
No, I just want you to admit that you love the hero's journey. That's what I want you to do after Wonder Woman.
I love what they did with the hero's journey. Still not going to fall in love with it, but their take on it and how they presented it, I think, was some of the strongest I've seen. But that comes with Wonder Woman. Like, she is, like, if you were going to do the hero's journey, it is about Wonder Woman. It is about seeing her go into a world that is more me. It is more dark and it's more cynical and having to be this kind of joyful person. And like, I feel for her because that was me at one point. And that's what I like about the Diana character is I see her in this movie and then I saw her in Batman v Superman. And I'm like, oh, I'm more of the Batman v Superman Wonder Woman. I guess I'll fight. Like, this isn't really my thing. And I like to see that in contrast to, oh, I'm fighting. Like, this is my battle. And it's so interesting to see Wonder Woman evolve within two films. And yeah, I like that. It's the hero's journey, but it's fun.
You talk about the world being like darker and grittier and stuff. Just so you know, anything outside of Themyscira is going to be shitty. Like here's the nicest place in the world, even though you're kicking the shit at each other. But like, this is paradise. And then anywhere else you go in the world, it's like, ah, shit. This place sucks.
Like, it was so funny. Like, right outside of Themyscira was like pure storm, fog, gross. And I'm like, wow, Themyscira is really just the most perfect place on like in the whole world.
Yeah, and I'm like, Wonder Woman could go to Hawaii and be like, oh man, this place sucks. Like, it's so gritty and dark. It's Hawaii. Because, like, this is Hawaii. Yeah.
that mascara is kind of like a California where you could see all kind of land in one area. Like, it's so beautiful and there's nowhere else like it. And I will say one of few complaints is I would have liked to spend more time on Themyscira. Like, as soon as we left, I was like, oh, we're not going back, are we? Oh, I liked it so much. And that's just compliments to them building a great Themyscira and good characters. Robin Wright, MVP of Themyscira storyline. I love what she did.
Okay, how do you want to review this film? We have a whole bunch of notes.
We have so many notes, and I don't really want to get into too many spoilers yet, because I don't think there's anything too major to spoil. But I know how people are with something. So yeah, it's going to be hard to talk about this, of like teetering the line of talking about things too much. And I think we should just give our candid, our feelings and not try to break it down.
Okay. Do you want to go like one detail? Like, you talk about one line here and then I'll go back to mine and we'll kind of go back and forth, see how it goes.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Did you talk about the Turner Classic already, or was that pre-show fist fight?
Yeah, that was the pre-show fist fight, and I will say this is, to me, a Turner Classic movie, and I don't mean that in a shady, I don't mean that in an insult. That is a high compliment. I loved the TMC movies growing up. I always thought they were so interesting, even ranging from when they started showing a thing like Indiana Jones, which this heavily reminds me of. There's elements of Casablanca. There's Inglourious Basterds. There's a classic element to this film that I didn't think was going to be in here.
Once you add a world war, whether it's World War I or World War II, and the Germans in an adventure film, it automatically becomes an Indiana Jones film.
Absolutely, and you can't avoid it, but I do think this was one of the best uses I've seen in a long time of that motif.
And you talked about, like, the Turner Classic feel. Whatever filter they were using on the camera when they came to Europe was amazing.
Absolutely. It is such a contrast to what Themyscira looked like. And like you said, the filter or the style of lighting they used to the London aspect, and even more of Europe, because they do explore Europe. It's beautiful. And it does remind me of just classic film noir. I would have liked to see this movie in black and white almost, just because of like how gorgeous the lighting and the color palette was. It would have even worked in black and white.
For me, it would have been the sepia. It was like the brownish colors.
Oh, that would have been beautiful. Yeah, damn, that would have been really nice.
The first thing I wrote down on my list is the little details in the film. When the war vets are coming off the boat, you know, Wonder Woman engages with them, and you can just feel, like, the hurt in her. And she's not even saying anything. And there's a whole bunch of other little details where, like, she had ice cream for the first time. She saw a baby for the first time. And then the whole dress scene where they try to, like, dress Wonder Woman down to make her more of a spy. And that scene could have just gone so badly.
All of the humor could have definitely went down a different route. And that dress scene is one of the best examples of good humor in a good humor situation. Like, I was like, oh boy. Oh, that was funny. Like, even when she's trying to leave with the sword and shield and she hands it to Etta Candy, I thought that was so genius and so funny. Yeah, like you said, there are small details that are funny and purposely funny and not bad and cringy.
And they still made one callback to the superhero genre when they put glasses on her. And Etta Candy says, like, oh, you're gonna ugly her up by putting glasses on the most beautiful woman in the world. You know, and it's exactly what everybody talks about with, like, Superman and Clark Kent. Like, how does everybody not realize that that's Clark Kent?
Sidebar, Gal Gadot is seriously one of the most beautiful women. And this is probably going to come off sexist to some, but I'm not attracted to women. There would be times where I would just stare at her face. Like, you were talking about some of her monologues or these big epic speeches she would do aren't too strong. And I would be like, cool, I checked out and just was staring at her gorgeous face. Like, even if it was important, there would be times where I'm like, she's absolutely 100% the most gorgeous person I've ever seen. Like, it's insane how much she is Wonder Woman, from the physicality to the beauty to the heart. She is the definition of this character.
And I do like that they chose a Middle Eastern person. You know?
Absolutely. I think she has an ambiguous look where she can pass as almost anything, but she still has that strong, classic Israeli look to her. And I think, yeah, she's just so interesting. I do think that's funny. Everyone on Themyscira has fake Israeli accents, though. Like, everyone has to keep up with her accent that she can't lose. So everyone's just trying to, like, keep up with her. And I thought that was kind of funny.
That's where I was sitting there, and I was like, oh, I like the fact that everybody has an accent, because in the comic book world, when you read it, you read whatever accent you bring to the table. And I remember this when I first saw the first Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. He had a Brooklyn accent. And I was like, whoa, I never read this in my head before. And I was like, it makes sense, because he was raised in New York City. Of course, he's going to have an accent. And it works. And now Tom Holland has one. And I think all the British guys that come over and play Spider-Man, they use a New York accent. And then the same thing with this. Like, when I've read Wonder Woman and I've read other things, like, even in the cartoon, she doesn't have an accent. So it was good to just see the diversity of the characters and characters that were around. Good or bad on the accents, I can't tell. I'm a tall white guy.
Yeah, I'm not going to judge accents. I do think it's just funny that everyone kind of just had her accent. Like, I know what Robin Wright sounds like, or Connie Nielsen, to hear them try to speak, and I'm like, that's not your accent. I still love them. I think both of them are great. And you said diversity. I love what Themyscira looked like. There was women of color. There was thicker women. There was just all shapes and sizes, and I think that's what the Wonder Woman message is. Even when Etta Candor was talking about, let's wear the corset and we'll cinch you in. And she's like, why do you hide your belly? It's just such a, and she was just like, yes, that's a girl with no belly. I think just like that body positivity that Wonder Woman promotes is just so awesome to see.
It was really good. And you love the connections to Batman v Superman?
Oh, absolutely. I love that the photo that was a big deal for her in Batman v Superman, that we were all kind of like, why is this a big deal? It pays off so nicely. We find out how important. You kind of knew it was going to be important to her because it's a part of her history, or maybe she wanted to hide that she's been around for this long. But no, you find out that's her, like, a memory that she has from this time and with the group and with Steve. And I like that. I think that really added layers to it. I like that we got to see some modern times. Not to spoil anything, but it's bookended with a perfect, like, that's what it reminds me of, a storybook, where she starts off telling the story and it ends with her, like, closing the book of telling us the story. That's what I liked, and I think that helps connect to the previous movies we've seen, but also keep it as a period piece.
I really thought it worked well, wherein it started in present and then went to, like, the past and then went to the time frame of the film. I thought they moved time nicely, and it wasn't, you weren't shaken or moved, or it wasn't awkward. Like, it just, the film flowed that way. And then when it ended, it flowed back into regular time. And I thought they did a really good job balancing the line of interconnecting what happened, or the timeline of the modern day Justice League to Wonder Woman's origin.
Yeah, absolutely. They really do show, like you said, the time and where we got to grow with her. And I think this definitely shows, it helps us understand her character more. I feel like if we watch Batman v Superman again, you get to see some of these traits that we saw of her in Wonder Woman and how different she is in that film. And I think that's going to be interesting. I'm excited to see if she can bring more joy now out of Bruce Wayne in Justice League. And I think that's kind of, I think she's going to get back to where she was in this film. And I think she's going to play the Steve Trevor role to Batman's, like, hopefully now new Wonder Woman, where he has this optimistic look of, you know, we're going to save the world. And she's like, that's cute. I learned my lesson with that. I'm interested.
No. Okay. Number one, Wonder Woman is not jaded after this film. Okay. She still is going to save the world, and she's going to bring that compassion and that excitement. I'm not going to let you bring her down.
No.
From
what I've read of Wonder Woman is she fights when she needs to fight. She doesn't just go stop everything, especially now this older woman, Wonder Woman. And I think that's the plot I like of this, is she kind of, I don't want to say she's jaded, but she doesn't seem the most willing to help. And I think we saw why she's not as willing to help, though she's always going to be that Wonder Woman. She's always going to save us. But I can see why she's a tiny bit more hesitant than before. But maybe that's because she followed into the Zack Snyder directing, and that's just how he does these characters. But it's interesting, and I think I like to see that there is a whole different side of her. From Wonder Woman to Batman v Superman, it's a whole different character, and I like that a lot.
And you talked about that she's older. She's like Yoda, so 75 years is like a day to her. So she's not that much older from Wonder Woman to Justice League.
No, well, like, her age has gone up, but her, no. She, yeah. Her character's so interesting like that, and I like that Wonder Woman, we can keep her on forever. Like, if we kill off the rest of the Justice League, we could still have Wonder Woman there. Like, she's still gonna, like, age as amazingly as she is, and I like that. I think her character's just opened up. I almost wanted this to be the first movie in the DCEU now. It's just like, this to me opens much more you can do with character-wise and with what you could do with storytelling, and this really doesn't, this isn't bashing the other films, this is just saying the order of things, she should have been first.
And I gotta give my little PSA before I read my next comment, and because the first thing you do after you see Wonder Woman is trash Zack Snyder or the MCU, then you missed the message of the film and you didn't really enjoy the film, because if you brought all that extra baggage in and came out and started spewing venom right afterwards, then that's not the point of being a fan at all.
Yeah, I think you are losing the idea. And I was very happy, honestly, as a Zack Snyder fan to see his name come up quickly after Patty Jenkins, because this is still his film. This is still something he worked with her on. And I like that it was three men writing a script that a woman directed. And I think her take on this, and there's just small things that I noticed that she did, is there was no longing glances of a woman's body. Like, none of the action scenes were sexualized, nothing. It was just so interesting to see, like, this such a male-heavy script told through a female's eyes, and I think that's awesome. And I think that's what Snyder does, and we talked about it. I think he writes good scripts. Sometimes he shouldn't always direct his scripts. And I think this is a great example of he knows what he's doing. Patty Jenkins is awesome. Yeah, this isn't a bashing of anybody. And
no, this
I don't
is, wanna... it isn't a bashing or a defending or anything. It's just go to Wonder Woman and enjoy it. Because a few of my critiques are based off of what my little quirks are with the MCU film. And I'm not MCU film franchises. And I'm not bashing the MCU films when I point this out or say that, you know, because Wonder Woman is a good film, it doesn't mean the other films are bad. Like, you can have a good film and then you can have an okay film, and you can even have a good film next to a good film and one of them is a little bit better. It's fine. Like, it's when I say something like, you know, not having Stan Lee show up in a Wonder Woman film was a good thing. Like, you know, not having Linda Carter pop up there and, like, take you out of the moment. That's not me bashing the MCU film. It's me being like, oh man, I was so sucked into this film. And if Linda Carter showed up, I would have dropped back out of the film experience. And I was glad that they didn't put the cheesy cameos in. And that's like one of my things. Like, there was no need for fan service in this film because the fan service was the film.
And I will say that was something I enjoyed about Logan as well this year. And I think if we can compare movies in a positive sense, I think comparing movies will become better again. And I think that's what I liked about that, was it just felt so different. And it didn't feel like we were trying to make a superhero movie. As much as she's an ass-kicking superhero, this almost didn't feel like a superhero movie. And I don't want to say that there's something wrong with being a superhero movie. There's nothing wrong with it. It's awesome. But this just felt, like I said, a Turner Classic movie or something old Hollywood mixed with a new school flair. I like what this does, and I think this is definitely showing the genre can be so much more than what it usually is. And I love the popcorn flicks. I love the fun aspect of it. But this is something else, and I'm glad that, like, they didn't do fan service. And as much as they did throw in little things, like especially at Themyscira talking about some of the, they would name like an Amazon. I'm like, oh, she's a pretty like well-known Amazon. That's pretty cool. Like, just small little things. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Like it, like you said, it's nothing Linda Carter related. I didn't have to see Jeff Johns pop up in the background, wave and then leave. Like, it was nice.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I know this was a superhero film to me. Like, this is the Wonder Woman I read. This is the Wonder Woman I watched. I was like, this is what Wonder Woman would do. Like, it hit all the notes that they had and that they had to hit. And I'm still at wonderment of, like, her power or what power she has. Like, with her being a god and what they did, like, you can kind of mold things differently. There's a little bit more flexibility here and there as opposed to, you know, getting bit by a radioactive spider or building a a metal suit or being a billionaire kind of thing. Like, you can flex some muscle when it comes to powers of gods.
I think that's something I've always enjoyed with DC in general. I think if you look at even a character like Flash, to me, Flash is a god in a sense. Like, he is so, like, incredibly awesome. And I think that's what I liked about these characters. And what I'm going to be so excited is, I think they're going to go that route of basically Batman is going to be a man among these gods. And I like that aspect. And I think that's going to be so cool to see dived into more. And I like that a lot. And I think this just has so much. And I do want to get into some of the things maybe we didn't like. I know we're praising it a lot, but there has to be some negatives for this movie for you. Do you have one? I see you weren't the biggest fan of the Ares rendition.
I was trying to figure out how to talk about that. So I didn't want to spoil it.
Well, if you have watched or heard anything, they literally talk about Ares in the first 5 seconds of the movie. So, like, that's not a spoiler. He's in it. There is spoiler things attached to him. But to say Ares is in the movie and he has a design, I don't think it's a spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, I was just the only – yeah, because I was like, there's stuff I want to talk about. But I'm just like, I don't want to talk about it. But I wasn't – the special effects at the end, I feel like the battle between Ares and Wonder Woman was kind of, for me, not the best battle, but I mean, it was, everything leading up to that, like the No Man's Land battle was amazing. There was some really awesome visuals, and then you get the Ares and it becomes more of this like Iron Man 1-ish Jebediah or whatever his name is in his big mech armor, you know, fighting Iron Man. And I was like, And they made him fly, and this is me just being a nerd. They put a guy in armor that can't bend his head up, and then they made him fly forward. So he's like, he can't see where he's going. And well, this is just me being a nerd. But I was like, it just looked weird when he was flying forward. This is where the CG kind of lost me a little bit on that part.
I definitely agree with some of the CG complaints with it. I didn't really love some of, like, there was these kind of like lightning crackle moments that I was like, that's okay. It definitely kind of reminded me of the Doomsday fight at the end of Batman v Superman, where like the color palette and like the whole visual effects change of the movie, and I'm like, oh, that was a style choice. But still, I think what I enjoyed about the third act is it felt structured different than the third act I've normally seen. I compare it to, I didn't like the third act of Logan. I didn't like that whole end battle with X-24. So to see this structured differently, and, you know, there was a kind of like a flashback scene in the middle of it. And there's just something about this one I felt was structured and organized so different. And it kind of kept me engaged. Usually third acts, especially of superhero movies, I'm kind of like, they're usually not the strongest. They're usually a blue beam in space or something stupid like that.
They didn't pan up, but there was a blue beam in the space.
Yes, but it wasn't like caused by them, basically. Like, you know, it's interesting of how they try to do this, and I thought that's what kept me engaged, of like, I don't love the visuals. I liked Ares. I love the character of Ares. I think his design is okay. It's a little raw, but literally I think he got his parts from like pieces of the battleground, like, so I think that's what I enjoyed. I think so there's something like handmade about how Ares looks, and that's interesting. And the Ares villain, I just like that there's multiple villains in the film. There's Ares, and then there's Dr. Poison that we've seen in the trailers, and I like Dr. Poison a lot. And I like that she kind of fell into the third act, and like she didn't just kind of was like a first act villain that they do in sometimes in movies like this.
No, I liked Ares until he put his armor on. I was like, I liked where they were going. And then when they showed a flashback of him, and this is me trying not to spoil the film, when they showed a flashback of him, you know, all buffed up with the wound, I was like, oh, come on. We know this guy is not all buffed up. Like, this is just, it was a flashback that wasn't needed. He could have, it was, and I don't want to really pick apart this film because everything up to that part was really good. And the final battle is, for me, because it was really reminiscent of, like, and I had no problem with it. Like, it was really reminiscent of, like, Magneto, mm-hmm. you know, duking it out. And I was like, if Magneto made swords, that'd be awesome. You know, I was sitting there, like, I was like, this is, like, the best Magneto I've ever seen on screen.
I will say, I guess one of the few things that would have changed it is if he would have turned into something supernatural looking. Ares to me has always been kind of gray and big and like demon-y looking. I think he's always looked like kind of something out of this world. And that's kind of the line that she says in Batman v Superman, where I fought things from other worlds before. I was going to be like, oh man, Ares is going to completely, and I'm like, oh, he looked kind of humanish. So that was kind of one of my only disappointments on that end, was like, oh, I was kind of expecting a supernatural god-like looking being, and you have a cool suit.
Well, that was the thing, is the Ares that they show two times before in like flashbacks and story time.
Oh, those looked beautiful paintings.
Looked really awesome.
Compliment to those like CGI storytelling Greek god paintings that they did. That was one of my favorite things. I'm like, I could watch this whole movie like this. Like, what is that movie? I want to see that.
I was like, why couldn't we get that Ares at the end?
I will agree with you 100%. That was kind of what I was expecting. And I will say, I knew Ares was in the film, especially long before, because there was a toy leak of him from like Toy Fair New York. And he didn't look like the toy, because I was like, oh, I was expecting demon-y looking Ares. And that's literally my only complaint is, and I still like the villain. I still think that the message she was trying to send to Diana and like his kind of like trying to brainwash her with the Ares God of War mentality, I like. I just don't love the character design.
Right. That was my character design was my issue. But this is a mashup of like Captain America, First Avenger, and Thor. This film, and like the things that it did well is like in Captain America First Avenger, Hydra kind of takes over World War II and they're shooting lasers, and I was like, this didn't fucking happen. And then in Thor, the Asgards have science. Their science is so advanced that it looks like magic, but that's how they kind of explain it. Mm-hmm. Where Wonder Woman just goes in a real world setting, as real world as possible for a comic book film. And then Themyscira didn't, you know, just straight up was like, yeah, this shit's magical. And like, didn't over explain anything. It was just like, shit's magical.
Yeah. And I think that's what comes with instantly establishing the Greek mythos. I think that helps. I will say something on Themyscira, they showed an animal, and I was hoping the animal would look a little bit more otherworldly. I think that was one of the few complaints, is I think it was magical. And it had that sense of magic, but I don't think any of the designs were that whimsical or that kind of character design-wise. I think outfit-wise, everything felt awesome. Like I said, I wish we stayed at more of Themyscira. I love the Game of Thrones, like, Lena Headley, Cersei, Queen Hippolyta. I was like, ooh, I want this whole Themyscira backstory movie, because there is some drama going on here that I need more of.
I was surprised how quickly they dropped. When in that opening scene where their first battle, I was like, I thought they were stronger. I thought they had, you know, but I was like, I don't know. But I guess
it shows guns versus arrows. And I think that's what helped show. And I think that's what something was cool is we got to see that as awesome as these Themyscira women are, the Amazons are, they're not ready for a real world battle until you have someone like a Wonder Woman. And I think it was a good lesson they learned, as sad as we had to see some Amazons go. There's a lesson learned, and I think it's going to help them battle better. And I would like to see them. I think they have a scene, from what I've noticed in the Justice League trailer. They're in the Justice
there's
League trailer.
Yeah, there's a battle.
So, but that could always be a flashback, because supposedly Darkseid. Mother Boxes have been at Themyscira. That's like, you know, there's just so much that you could do that. I'm really excited to go back, and I think I'm glad Patty Jenkins established it well and maybe took it away from us, that it's like a gift if we ever go back.
Advice to anybody else making a comic book film after this. What I really enjoyed about this Wonder Woman film is that nothing is over-explained. The audience is treated with respect, so they kind of just, I want to say they gloss over Greek mythology, but they assume that you have a certain amount of Greek mythology in you from just being a person in the world that has Greek mythology. And then, like I said, you get to discover the film alongside Diana. You know, Diana is going through a metamorphosis from the beginning of the film to the end of the film, and you don't know what's going on until she knows what's going on, and you get to experience it as Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that usually helps when we have a character like a Wonder Woman, where we are finding out things as it goes on, and that does help. And nothing was too. I do think some things were a little exposition heavy. There was some dialogue that was just like, oh, since we're not going to show it, we just have to tell it. And that was kind of the rule of film, is you're supposed to show it and not tell it. So I was just kind of like a little with some of the things were a little explained, not over explained, but I was just like, oh, so we had to make sure we understood that she, you know, this thing with, you know, her history and her father and all that, blah, blah, blah. I was just like, oh, okay. I think I could have assumed that. I mean,
Well, I mean,
I was like, a little tiny nitpick, but I was just like, some exposition was a little thrown in those dialogue.
I guess we'll agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah, and it's so subtle to me. And it was I noticed a lot with Hippolyta in the beginning when she was kind of explaining the whole story. And yes, since she was explaining to it in a story and kind of telling it to Diana, it was interesting. But I was just like, oh, so this is just an excuse to do exposition and not do a flashback. Oh, we're still doing a flashback. Oh, cool.
Yeah, but you just said you like those paintings. How can you say you like those paintings?
I like what they are. I like what they represent. The scene itself, but the actual like work of the scene is gorgeous. I'm just like, I could have done without it, but I'm glad it was there.
Because they basically spend 5 minutes explaining everything, and they don't really explain everything. They kind of just explain it. They get you caught up, and then they're done. Like it's, and so then you could just move with your movie. And I thought that was a good way of doing it, as opposed to, you know, Steve Trevor going to other friends like, oh yeah, yeah, Zeus and his mom made her out of clay, like all the time. Like it just kept repeating it like, oh, Zeus this, Zeus that, blah, blah. Like, oh, you're the god killer. Oh, you're the, you know, you're the spoiler. Yes.
No, not even really. I think that's kind of obvious. But yeah. I think what helped me with the exposition part is we didn't really have to explain the real world to Diana too much. Like when she wasn't allowed in the meeting with all the men, you just kind of knew. And she kind of figured it out quickly, like, oh, it's because I'm a woman and they don't believe me. And I think that was like we didn't have to explain too much that she wasn't really welcomed in this world. And yeah, I think that's what helped that exposition part of it. Like they didn't have to explain that like this world wasn't ready for her. You just kind of saw that the world wasn't ready for her.
No, it wasn't. But again, I still love that beginning where they talk about the history and the Battle of Ares and how humans, blah, blah, blah. Like it's very biblical. It's very, you know, it's all that great stuff that's going on there. Like, and plus visually it was amazing. So I was more of just like giddy enjoying the film as it happened. But then you got to go nitpick and get me all angry.
I mean, look, I have to because this movie is so good that, like, I don't want to just look like one of those people who I love the film and I love the character, I love the universe. So I'm just going to be like, it's the most perfect. No, there was tiny little nitpicks.
I'm not telling you to be a fanboy. And I mean, and you're more than, like, you can be a fanboy once a year. Like, I'm recording a podcast.
I'm saving those for Justice League.
I'm recording a podcast in my garage. I mean, like, it doesn't get more fanboy than that. I mean, it's a really nice garage and it's a really nice recording set, but still, I'm in my garage talking about superheroes.
I know. It's interesting. I'm going to save my fanboy points for when it's the Zack Snyder, Justice League, everyone all together, when I'm like, I'm going to ignore all bad moments because I got to see all these characters, blah, blah, blah. With Diana, it's how I feel about Logan. The movie's so good that it would be a disservice to not talk about some of the negatives just because that's just how movies really work. And there's other things I didn't get to talk about. Like, this movie is so romantic, like, so beautifully, like, what a nice love story that is told. And it's not like a cheesy love story and it's not forced. It's just like, oh, like, I just felt so like loving in this film. And I love that. I love that I actually get to like be a nice person for once and not love that it's just dark.
We are 20 something minutes into the podcast. If you're listening to this podcast and you have not seen Wonder Woman, the spoilers are going to start right now because I needed to get this off my chest and I needed to talk about it. So spoilers will happen at this point in time. You've been warned. Stop listening. If you haven't listened to Wonder Woman, spoilers will happen right now. Okay. Now I can get stuff off my chest because there's a lot of stuff I got to get off my chest. I really really thought it was amazing when Ares knocks down Wonder Woman with like a thunderclap or whatever it was and she couldn't hear. And Steve Rogers.
Great couple, by the way. I'm actually here for that couple.
Steve Trevor is saying goodbye to her and she can't hear him. And I thought they were going to go a whole new route, like a different route where like she was going to be heartbroken because she never heard his last words. I was a little disappointed when she had the flashback and later heard what he said.
And see, I love that. I thought that was so romantic, and it was such a good, like, that was the reason she came back and kicked ass, is because of those words and that message. It's like, as things were getting bad, and she was, like, angry that he, like, died, that she was just like, no, like, this is what he told me. This is the message he told me. This is why I'm doing this. And I think that was, as, like, it would have been awesome if that's why she's a little more jaded in the Batman v Superman world, is she goes, I came to this world and lost my man. Like, that sucks. And I think that's what I would have liked. But I also liked the fact that she got to, you know, she didn't get to hear the message at first, and then it hits her when it needs to hit her. And I think that's what I was just like, damn, that was kind of powerful. Like,
no, I'm with you. I'm with you on both fronts. Because, like, one front is, like, the artistic film going for the Oscar. You know, if she never hears what Steve Trevor says, and he sacrifices himself, and she's like, oh, I lost. And, like, and it, because that hurts. It hurts that you have your person that you love is saying something to you. And, you know, that's where I would have had the rage in me, and then I would have beat Ares at. Like, you can have different rage points come up where, yes, it's like, my man just sacrificed himself, and I couldn't hear him because you thunderclapped me or whatever you did to me. And, like, I'm going to kill you. And, like, whatever the inspiration is. But then, hearing his lines are epic. I can save today. You can save the world. I was like, I'm getting goosebumps right now.
Yeah, like, tattoo right. That on my forearm. That was a quote. Like, that was awesome.
And so that was brilliant. And I understand both sides. I mean, I understand both sides of my own argument. but for a second, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the most gut-wrenching romance movie I've watched in a long time. And then, like, he says what he needs to say. Still a little misty-eyed at that point in time. I was not expecting that sort of romance out of Wonder Woman.
No, I knew... I've always not been a big fan of Steve Trevor-Diana relationship. I've always felt it was a little like, I don't think she needs anybody. I've never thought Wonder Woman needs to date anybody at all. But to see them, to see the curiosity on her face, and as someone who I remember falling and exploring for my first time, I remember being like, oh, what's that going to be? You know, it's so, and she did that acting perfectly. She had that, like, you know, first time kissing, first time presumably having sex. I don't know if they had sex, like, I don't. They did that classic movie where they cut away and we get to see, like, the light on in their bedroom, and I'm like, ooh, did they? Didn't they? Once again, classic Turner, classic movie moments there. Like, we're not going to show you the sex scene, but it is implied. And hey, this movie was even a little risque with naked Chris Pine. Like, was kind of shocked by, like, the stuff that they pulled for a PG-13 movie. This is definitely not for little kids. The DCEU is still remaining a more older side of the PG-13 rating, and I like that. And I like that you got to see that love and that aspect and that kind of sexiness, because I told you it's romantic, and I kind of wanted to fall in love after this movie.
It takes a Wonder Woman to cut through the jadedness of EJ's heart. But then again, this is where I talk about they didn't need to over-explain stuff, and they kind of, like, showed things without showing them. You know, that whatever happened in the bedroom between Chris Pine and Gal Gadot, we'll never know. I mean, I guess I can eventually ask him or something like that. But, like, I thought originally, because it was one of those, like, I'm sitting here, I was like, he's just going to close the door and walk out. And it's going to be, like, one of those, like, oh, I'm going to build tension kind of thing. But no, like, he stayed in and closed the door. And then they, like, nothing was too crazy. Could be, and again, this is not me bashing the MCU films. I enjoy the MCU films. But, like, after seeing Guardians of the Galaxy with as many jokes that came through, I was like, oh, they're going to kiss and then have an awkward joke afterwards. But there wasn't. They just kissed. The lights turned out. And then they ended scene and went to the next scene. And it just, you're like, what just happened? I don't know. Well, now we're going
to, like, to kind of go along with that, I will say with the humor, they made, like, a penis dick joke in the movie, and it wasn't immature. And I think, you know, and I think that's
all
the problem
dick
I have with
jokes are immature. That's the point of dick jokes.
Yes, but I think the way this one was handled wasn't played for, like, a low groan laugh. It was an actual, like, chuckle. Like, I think, and even when they were talking about sex, and, like, she was like, I've read all 12 books. Like, and he was like, did you bring those? Like, it was just so cute and so mature. And I think that's what like you said, since dealing with a film like Guardians of the Galaxy, which it's the humor is made for that movie. I'm not taking away from that humor. But I was kind of, like you said, I was kind of expecting this to be like, oh, they're talking about sex. Oh, here comes the cringy joke. And I'm like, oh, no, actually, oh, I like that joke. Oh, that was, yeah, that, I would have said that. Like, I really, really enjoyed that aspect, too, because it's like, oh, good jokes. And that's Patty Jenkins as a director. And I think Zack Snyder has good humor. He just shovels it under all the darkness. And it's just like, oh, there's a joke after 2 hours of no jokes. This one was Patty Jenkins being like, no, no. Even the scene that you probably didn't write funny, I'll make it funny because I'm a hell of a director. I'm just going to have to like keep pinpointing her because she really is a masterwork. Like she even said she didn't – this is her first edit. She only had one edit of the movie. She said she trimmed things up in the end and that's it. And I think that's just genius of being like, no, I made my movie. I'm good.
And that boat scene that you talked about, that was every like fanboy's – it gets all the fanboy stuff off of our chest, and then there's the answer, and we're like, oh. And then we go back into the movie and stuff like that. It was done so well, and it was at the beginning of the film to where, like, you weren't chasing those, like, kind of weird fanboy things later on in the film. And it's the whole point of being a nerd is you ask really stupid questions.
No, and I think we had those characters, like, with the first time some of the other people in the crew meet her. And he's like, oh, you were the most beautiful girl. Like, all I want is just a picture of you to, like, do. And I just think it's so cute of, like, how everyone's reaction to her was that fanboy reaction. And then quickly, like Wonder Woman does, you go from that fanboy, like, sexual attraction to being like, no, she's just awesome. Like, I don't want to make love to her. I just want to, like, I want to kick ass with her. And I think that's what Wonder Woman, and I think that's what Gal Gadot does. Is like, in the same scene, I can go from, she can break my heart, like, make me laugh, and then kick ass. All in 10 seconds. And that's what I think, like, for her to be such a new actress on the scene, this was years of work that she, and I've seen negative crit, like, oh, the few negative reviews about this movie, they talk about her, and I'm like, how, I don't, like, yeah, I can see the CGI complaints, yeah, sure, but Gal Gadot to me was never an issue.
Well, the thing, and I am not the best speaker in the world either, even though I have a podcast, but when she's confronting her mom, and when she's trying to get off the island, in that speech, she's very stuttery. And that could be the acting skills or Diana growing to her roots and stuff, like growing up as a person. So you can see it two different ways. You can see it as the like Oscar award winning speech where it's smooth and polished and it's like in your face and powerful. Or you can see it as this youngling challenging her mom and not being sure of herself and having a little stutter to it, and which works. Like I said last night, like Gal Gadot might not be the best actress ever, but the stuttering or the non-powerful speech that is given in certain moments here and there is because the character is coming into her own as well. And so it gives her a little leeway to where Justice League comes around or the next film where she's like, I'm more sure of myself. I am more powerful. Like, because it's going to be very nerve-wracking to be the first Wonder Woman feature film ever. There's a lot of pressure on that.
This movie, we talked about a little bit before, had so much unnecessary pressure on it. Not only is this trying to do for female-led films, female-directed films, redo the DCEU. Like, they had so much pressure on it, and I love that they didn't even – I don't think Patty Jenkins sweat at one time. She said in an interview that this was hard, and she's not taking away from the process, but she goes, this was also fun and smooth, and I think that's what you got to see. I think the reaction behind the camera showed on camera because – it is, like you said, the acting, if she's being timid, it's not, to me, Gal Gadot as an actress, it's the character. The only time she was very timid and a little stuttery was trying to tell her mom that, I'm going to be an adult, I'm leaving. And no matter what age you are, you still know this. Talking to a parent isn't always the easiest. And I think she encapsulated that feeling so well.
And I totally lost where I was going to go next. I was captivated by your speech.
Oh, pinpoint also, shout out to young Wonder Woman as well. I liked her. Like, kid actors this year is, like, up the thing with Daphne Keene and, like, Logan. Like, no one's going to top her. But I really loved young Diana. I was just like, please be my daughter, like, little adorable girl.
I only saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2 once. I only saw Logan once. I know that there's now the noir version now on DVD and Blu-ray, which I might check out again because I really enjoyed Logan. Logan, I did have as my number one comic book film of the year. I think I need to see Wonder Woman one more time before I decide if this is better than Logan.
Logan and Wonder Woman, I said it last night on the video, they are, to me, just as important, but for two completely different reasons. Like, it's going to be very hard for those two to go up against each other because, honestly, like, they're both just as good in different reasons. I think Logan is the Oscar-winning style of movie, where Wonder Woman is just an awesome movie. Like, this is the idea of a summer blockbuster, a serious drama, a fun superhero movie, all rolled up into one perfect film. Logan is just, it's great. Like, it's really hard with these two, and I hate that there's going to be other superhero movies that we're going to be like, eh. Like, I don't think Spider-Man Homecoming, as much as I'm actually interested in the Tom Holland, I don't think it's going to even rack up to what Logan, Wonder Woman, or even Guardians was.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that later. Comparing Logan to Wonder Woman, I wasn't as emotional in Logan as I was in Wonder Woman. And so that's where I'm giving it more credit. Like, Logan was this, it had emotion and it had some tough stuff, but like at the heart of it, it was like an 80s action film where we just need to survive and get to that point in time. And like, I've seen Logan before, and I've seen Wonder Woman before as well. But like, I had more of a connection with the characters in Wonder Woman than I did in Logan.
Oh, I 100% liked the relationship between Wonder Woman and Steve Trevor more than the X-23 Laura and Logan relationship. There wasn't enough for me to, like, I like them two together, and I think they're fun, but I wasn't like, ooh, biting into their relationship where this, I was the second Steve and Diana are on screen together, I'm like, I'm just like encapsulated by how beautiful they are and how wonderful that their chemistry was together. And I was kind of surprised. I said before, I'm not a Chris Pine fan.
Yeah, you hate Chris Pine.
This 110% changed my opinion on Chris Pine. I've always thought he was kind of funny. I always thought he was okay looking. He was sexy in this. He was funny. He was kind of badass. He had a heroic moment. Everything about him, like that moment, since we already kind of the spoiler section, the moment right before he dies is just one of his best acting moments, where like that realization of like, I'm not a dirty spy anymore. I'm a hero. And I love that moment.
In the plane?
Yes. Like,
no, that's just where I was like, I was welling up. I was just welling up at that point in time. I was like, oh, this is so rough.
Because look, and this is going to be a weird analogy, that moment to me reminded me of me in that movie. I was Steve Trevor, of this dark, cynical person. And then I look back and being like, but why? The world is so beautiful and I'm about to be a hero. Let me change that. And so that's where I felt that way. I was like, I have to kill old EJ off, and I have to be new Wonder Woman EJ. I have to be the positive force because Steve Trevor risked his life for this. Like, that's how I felt. And that's what this movie did.
It was so good. It was so good. There are little nitpicks here and there, but there are with most superhero films. But overall,
with most films in general, they're like, Citizen Kane is hailed as one of the best movies ever, but we still don't know what the hell Rosebud really means. Like, there is problems in every movie. This movie just, that's why I wanted to point out, like, I didn't want to just go pure fanboy on this. I did want to take a second to be like, look, little tiny tweaks, done. You know, I think that really shows this movie is. Because look, I will admit, Batman v Superman, I ignored a lot of bad in that movie because I really loved it. And that was the fanboy in me. This, I really loved it, but I don't want to ignore the bad. I want to, because like Wonder Woman, there's flaws. And that flaws makes it even better.
And I'm secure in my like manlyhood if this movie is the highest grossing superhero film ever. Because it's a good film, and good films deserve to be rewarded. And so that's why I'm probably going to see it multiple times, because it's worth the admission. It's definitely summertime. It's hot out. Go see Wonder Woman. Go kick ass. Go inspire everyone to be a hero. And that's fine. The select audience kind of heroism that some people really want to get back to, they can go fuck themselves, because Wonder Woman is not going to be selective on who can be a hero, because everybody can be a hero.
Yes, that's that 100%. I'm glad. Let's just end it with that. I'm going to like not keep it up with that beautiful sentence you just said. So yeah, you're perfect.
Hi, EJ. You have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
Hey, Matt, we survived another episode. Oh, no!
Once again, there are several ways to continue the conversation after the show. Follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots. You can look at all our silly photos on Instagram at monkeysfightingrobots. You can follow me on Twitter at Matthew Sardo. My co-host EJ is also on Twitter at EJ Christ with a K. The biggest compliment we receive is when the subscriber number goes up on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a chance, we would greatly appreciate a review of our show on iTunes. As always, the best way to listen to the show is on our website, monkeysfightingrobots.com.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again.
There are so many people that made the 124th episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots a success. Special shout out to my co-host, EJ Marino.
Special shout out to you for putting up with me all this pre-Wonder Woman hype, and now we're both in the same, like, ethereal sense of post-Wonder Woman, so yes, thank you.
I had to drink some Pepto-Bismol, like, a week ago when you were in your Wonder Woman hype, because it was obnoxious. It was pretty bad.
Trust me, try living in my brain with this Wonder Woman hype. Like, I understand. I was annoying myself.
Jeff Shade is the creator of our amazing intros and outros. Jessica Wynn designed the Monkey Spider Robots logo. Are you a monkey or are you a robot? The staff of Visual Realm built our website and keeps us up and running. To all my friends, family, and interweb, thank you very much for your support. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.